Looking for your next favorite podcast? Start here.
We're all here because the Lord wanted it this way, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
Kyle, will you bring it home the way Mom used to?
And it's all about family. Family.
You sound just like her.
I love you, Pops.
All right, bud.
Go love you, Steve. Too.
Imagine a cooking show with Hannibal.
I would watch it.
Bloody with Hannibal Lecter.
That's what you call
Hello,
it.
Hello, everybody.
Lance McAllister had a great tweet talking about how, you just know years down the road, we will look back to this game as the passing of the torch between these two teams. One going the wrong way. The other one, clearly, ascending a little bit. I mean, from our perspective and for the sake of the walkout, this isn't about the Browns. This is about the Bengals team with no answers.
Welcome to this week's episode of the WVXU Discovery Podcast, Start Here. I'm Trip Eldridge, your podcast jockey. Get set for a quick overview and sample of three podcasts today, two national and one locally produced, to help you navigate the ever-growing world of the podcast phenomenon. Plus, we're introducing the all-new Start Here Blast weekly e-newsletter. You'll get a personalized email with a podcast we feature on Start Here. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and select the Start Here Blast email from the bottom of the page. Also, now you can rate Start Here on iTunes. And if you're a fan, a 5-star rating will help others find us in the iTunes gallery. So don't forget to rate us on iTunes today. And now, with special thanks for technical assistance from Cincinnati Public Radio's Jim Nolan and writing research and curation support by Connor Eldridge, it's time to start here. They say alchemists could pull gold out of thin air. Sounds like fantasy, right? Well, in our first podcast this week, that's reality. In his new podcast, Alchemy This, award-winning comedian and podcast host Kevin Pollak brings you nonstop comedy with his comedian friends. Each week, Kevin presents his band of 5 talented improvisers with uniquely bizarre scenarios for them to bring to life. Like alchemists, they pull comedic gold out of the strangest, dumbest, and thinnest premises. The crack team of improvisers is made up of some of your podcasting favorites, like Craig Kukowski, Vanessa Ragland, and Chris Alvarado. From middle school plays to Mars missions, every episode of Alchemy This is unique as it is hilarious. The only way you'll get tired of the show is getting worn out from too much laughter. Try this sample from Alchemy This. It's from the episode titled Easter with the Family. In the episode, it's chock full of fun with scenarios like backstage at a Disney concert, Batman at the amusement park, a State Farm company picnic, and more. In this clip, you'll get a glimpse of a rather unconventional family Easter gathering.
All right, let's get to our first scene. This scene is home for the Easter holiday, a widower. 2 adult children, 35 to 40, somewhere in there. One of their younger second wives, and one teenage grandchild, whose favorite TV show sitcom is a show called The Hell You Say.
Okay, everyone, who wants to cut the Easter ham?
Dad.
Tradition we always have.
Sit down, Ew. Dad, sit down.
Huh?
Sit, have a seat.
I stand at Easter. It's a tradition.
All right.
We all stand. It's a standing table.
All right. Oh, I don't want to even be here.
I'm not his real mom, so I don't feel like I should say anything.
Sweetheart.
It's never too late to discipline this kid.
Sweetheart, I'm telling you, he can call you mom.
No, thank you.
Okay.
I don't want to call her mom either. She doesn't like it, and I don't like her.
All right, well, Steve, I'm your dad, right?
Yeah, of course.
So just listen to me, and listen to your grandpa.
Steve, you want to cut the Easter ham?
Well, that seems extreme, Dad.
I mean, yeah, sure. Give me that knife.
Okay, now watch it. It's a very sharp knife.
I'm not an idiot, Grandpa. Watch out, Ma.
Just had it sharpened at the farmer's market last week.
That was nice. That was nice, Steve.
Thank you.
Deborah?
I disagree. I think it ages me. I don't think that's who I am. That's not how I see myself, and I think it's weird to impose this on us. This is very new.
Okay. That's true. I love you, baby.
I love you too.
Much. Thank you.
We're getting to know each other.
I love you.
Yeah. And, you know where I stand on that.
I know, Pops. Kyle, welcome to the family, I guess. I mean.
What's up?
Can you just take your earphones off the table, dude?
Yeah. What's up? We doing ham, Pops?
Yeah. Kyle, I'm Shelly. We met briefly at the wedding, but
yes,
it's great
did.
To see
yes,
you again.
Yes, we did.
Oh. You killed it on the dance floor.
Oh, my God, so did you.
I wish your brother could move like you.
Yeah. Deborah, I wish you didn't use your name Shelly to my younger brother. Because
oh,
I know Shelly is
oops.
Like your party
oops,
name.
Shelly's out. Meow.
Okay.
That's, he has a party
away.
Name? Is
away.
That something people are
well,
doing now?
No, Dad. When she has a couple of white Zins in her, then all of a sudden she's...
Shelly comes out.
Shelly comes out.
I like Shelly.
Queen of the sea.
Wish I had a party name.
I could give you one. How about Rock?
All right, Steve Rock. No, this is a big tradition here in our family, okay? The first cut always, well, Mom used to do the first cut. And
yeah. God. God rest her soul.
So, it's okay. Hey.
We never got a pre-cut ham. We never once got a pre-cut ham. We cut the ham here at the table.
So the fact that Grandpa wants you to do it is a big deal.
I know it's a big deal. I'm trying, okay? If hey, you want me to do it while I'm crying, I could cut somebody. I could mess
I'm
it up.
I'm not fighting with you. Watch your
that
mom.
Is like not what my son would be like.
He's just swinging that knife around.
Kyle, I wonder where he got that from.
I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe the one person that used to throw knives in the basement.
Oh, my God.
I told him that was adult zone. He came down when he wanted to.
Did you
that's bad parenting.
Knives?
Yeah,
so bad.
Well, I used to sharpen them and make my own knives.
Never right, saw anyone could throw a knife like your brother.
All right, buddy.
Never saw anyone who could throw a knife like your brother. I'm proud of you.
Dad,
I love you, too. I love you, too.
And I just want to say for the record, here at Easter, I'm so sorry about the dead mom and your dead wife.
Deborah. Dad, have a seat, Dad.
Okay.
I'll say the words Mom used to say.
Creepy.
We're all here.
Do it in her voice.
We're all here.
Oh, it's music to my ears.
Because the Lord wanted it this way, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
Deborah, Kyle.
Yeah.
He was squeezing my hand, sorry.
Kyle, will you bring it home the way Mom used to?
And it's all about family. Family.
You sound just like her.
I love you, Pops.
All right, bud.
Come love on, you,
Steve.
Too. Love
right.
you, too, Kyle.
Love
right,
you
so much.
Everybody, guys. Watch Kyle.
A sample of the podcast Alchemy This from How Stuff Works. Have some fun with the goofballs at Alchemy This. Available right now on WVXU's Podcast Central. New to Podcast Central this week comes a podcast for the people that make superheroes what they are. Villains. In his new podcast from Art19, author and journalist Shea Serrano breaks down the most interesting, most intimidating, and most undeniable villains in pop culture history. What's the most evil thing Regina George does in Mean Girls? Does Hannibal Lecter have any redeeming qualities? Could Eric Killmonger have been saved? You'll explore all these questions and more alongside Shea and his two companions as you dive into what makes a villain more evil than the rest, how they got that way, and why we simply can't live without them. Season 1 will feature 8 of the most historically evil and iconic villains in film of all different types, gangster villains, psychological thriller villains, high school movie villains, you name it. Here we've got a sample for you to try from the first episode of Villains, which zooms in on Hannibal Lecter, the terrifying antagonist from Silence of the Lambs, arguably the most universally known villain of all time. Hannibal is the subject of the in-depth analysis of Shea and his writer friends Sean Fennessy and Jason Concepcion. Why has Hannibal Lecter stuck around so long in the cultural zeitgeist? Could he ever be redeemed? Explore these questions with the Villains Podcast.
Next category, the Jason Statham School for Rehabilitation. I'm going to go through this real quickly, but in Furious 7, Jason Statham is the villain. He kills Han and then spends the rest of the movie trying to kill everybody else in Dom's crew. And then in Fate of the Furious,
yes,
number 8, he becomes a part of the crew. And then by the end of the movie, they're all best friends and having a rooftop barbecue. He was rehabilitated. Is there a scenario, is there a string of events where we can see Hannibal getting rehabilitated himself? And if not, like, what's the point of no return for him?
I would posit that this is sort of the principle behind the show Hannibal and the books beyond Silence of the Lambs and the movies beyond Silence of the Lambs. Can he be rehabilitated? Yes, in the sense that if he begins to target people that are that in this fictional world, the audience considers worthy of his attention, right? Mm-hmm. So they're like, you know, catching Buffalo Bill is a good thing that Lecter did. Focusing on other bad people, killing Miggs, the reason that he, that's kind of like a favor to Clarice, is he did a terrible thing. Mm-hmm. So therefore, within this fictional world, deserved what he got. So I think that is the way that you could quote unquote rehabilitate him, is he would then begin to focus on people who quote unquote deserved it.
Right. We need to take the census takers and the EMTs.
Right. No more
and
EMTs.
The cops all off the table. Can't kill any of those people.
Yeah. Hand them a list of paper and says these guys are off the table.
Yes.
The regular working Joes and Janes of the world. Right. No more of that.
But truly evil semen throwing convicts.
Yes.
Are on the board.
I got to disagree with y'all here. I don't think he could be rehabilitated. Like, the one thing we know about Hannibal Lecter is nobody can get to his brain. It's wrapped in too much barbed wire for anybody to be able to manipulate. I don't think we can fix him there. We're sort of drawn in by this affection that he has for Clarice. He's very sweet with her. He's very, as you mentioned, he's very charming when he's talking to her or about her. I've seen all of the Hannibal movies from Hannibal Rising up into, what was the last one, Red Dragon. My favorite line in any of those movies is when, in Hannibal, after Clarice has been kicked out of the FBI and he's like asking her about, do you think they're going to give you a medal when you get it? Like, if you were to save yourself or if you were to catch me. And he says, this is a quote that he says, I made sure to write it down. He says, about the medal, would you have it professionally framed and hanging on your wall to look at to remind you of your courage and incorruptibility? All you would need for that, Clarice, is a mirror. And that was like a very touching moment for me when he says it. Like, I'm so intoxicated by their relationship that I feel like I want to say, yeah, give Hannibal like 6 weeks of therapy and he's going to be, he'll be all right. But
several dozen people.
I can't get there. Can't get there. What
about a sort of like a forward-thinking gourmand, you know, someone who's really discovered something about kind of the new ways of dining in America?
Imagine a cooking show with Hannibal.
I would watch it.
Bloody with Hannibal Lecter.
That's what you call
Hello,
it.
Hello, everybody.
A sample from Villains with Che Serrano. Discover more about the anti-heroes that make movies great with Villains, now available on WVXU's Podcast Central. Our local podcast feature this week is perfect for this time of the year because the Bengals are in full swing, or beyond that. Anyway, the guys at the Bengals Beat podcast are here to keep you in the know on all the latest Bengals scores, highlights, and team news. You'll hear in-depth post-game recaps, exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and league experts, and important team updates as you become a super fan to cheer on your hometown team. Inquirer beat writers Fletcher Page and Paul Danner Jr. will make sure you've got everything you need to be ready for the game on Sundays. Here's a quick clip of the Bengals Beat podcast covering the recent loss to the Browns. Fletcher and Paul break down what went wrong, Marvin's future in the organization, and what the playoff picture looks like for the Cincinnati faithful.
This is kind of where we're at right now. Look, what do you got to look for? It's over, folks. It's over. You get demoralized. Punked and demoralized has been my phrase of the game because they were. The Browns were handing the ball to Hugh after the pick and dancing and talking crap. Demarius Randall said, we're going to whoop that ass since you don't have AJ Green. And they came down. He was very right. And they did. And it wasn't particularly competitive at all.
I did agree with your point that the one thing that the Browns didn't need to do this week was to create some motivation from outside the Bengals locker room. Because that's something that they've struggled with all year, is to find reasons to play. Mm-hmm. So I thought, I kind of bought into the narrative that maybe he gave them some spark. But I think the Browns needed that because they're so tired of hearing about how god-awful they are.
Yeah.
And they're a legitimate team right now to themselves. Yeah. They can say it out loud.
Yeah. I would agree. I mean, they handled Atlanta. Well, this was their first road win in 25 tries and the first time since 2015.
They're only half a game out of last place.
Yeah.
Or in last place, in by last half place. A game.
Who this really did. I thought
Lance McAllister had a great tweet talking about how, you just know years down the road we will look back to this game as the passing of the torch between these two teams. One going the wrong way, the other one clearly ascending a little bit. But to me, I mean, from our perspective and for the sake of the walkout, this isn't about the Browns. This is about the Bengals team with no answers. This is about here's the worst part. So post-game, maybe you'll see in recent weeks we've seen vets fire off a little bit and vent frustration and want to talk about it. There were a number of vets silence. Who just passing today. This was resignation.
Acceptance of what it is.
Yeah.
What it ain't.
What it ain't. What it ain't. And, from a Bengals fan perspective, that's unfortunate. Not saying, these guys didn't quit, if that does anything for you, if you care about that type of stuff. I mean, Jeff Driskel, who could be your quarterback next week, we'll see what happens to Andy Dalton, who's had the thumb injury. Initial reports are that it's not broken, but, there's still ligaments and all kinds of other crap involved, so who knows? More tests is kind of where we're at right now. We'll find out more tomorrow, but they had some fight in them. Whoopsie freaking do. They're nowhere near good enough. They have no answers on defense. We said walking out early in the season that this defense could probably be their fatal flaw if they can't figure it out. And Terrell Austin has gone down. Marvin Lewis, I got it. No, you don't.
Hugh Jackson.
None of it matters. None of it matters because they are just god-awful. They can't stop a thing. If it wasn't for the Browns going into a shell up 35-7, who knows how many yards they would have ran up. They ran up 296 in the first half. Then they stopped trying to score. They just started trying to run the ball and run it out. So don't give me, we showed some life in the second half on defense. No, you didn't. They ran into the middle like 15 times. But whatever.
I just can't believe that just a few weeks ago we were counting losses, and it would have been almost impossible to convince me that they would finish with fewer than 8 or 9 wins.
Right.
And now it feels like they won't win another game.
Right.
A snippet from the Bengals Beat podcast from the Cincinnati Inquirer. For your Cincy football fix, try the Bengals Beat podcast, available now on WVXU's Podcast Central. Let's take our regular look at what's hot on the Apple Podcast charts via iTunescharts.net. Well, this podcast debuted last May, but recently exploded on the charts with a new development. The podcast is Teacher's Pet, and it's about a husband and wife, Chris and Lynn Dawson, who appear to have the perfect marriage, but when Lynn goes missing, dark secrets are buried. This is no fairy tale, but a sordid story of strangely close twin brothers, teenage student lovers, and a probable murder. And last week, after 4 decades, a suspect was arrested. According to the New York Times, the release of Teacher's Pet in May rekindled public interest in the case, and the podcast has topped charts in Australia, the U.S., and Canada, and won Australia's most prestigious journalism award. And its popularity seemed to ramp up with the developments in the case. It sure ramped up on the podcast charts. Teacher's Pet, #1 on the Apple Podcast charts. That wraps up this episode of Start Here, WVXU's Discovery Podcast. And speaking of discovery, astronomical discovery, that is, you want to check out our newest original podcast, Looking Up, with Dean Regas and Anna Heyman. Dean's the outreach astronomer at the Cincinnati Observatory and co-host of the PBS series Stargazers and author of the book Facts from Space. Anna's the observatory's director of development with an innate curiosity about the cosmos. That's Looking Up, now at WVXU.org. And if you're turning into a podcast junkie and just can't get enough, try these two new discovery resources. NPR's The Big Listen with Laura Ober. You get an audio peek into great storytelling podcasts. And for a more blog-like written review and recommendation, NPR has Earbud.fm. They use unique categories to help you discover podcasts with things like advice, do it like a lady, and big ideas. And of course, Jim Nolan, Kevin Reynolds, and the WVXU staff feature our favorites on Podcast Central at WVXU.org. That's where we'll add your recommendations if you just email us at podcast@WVXU.org or call 513-294-8030 and leave us a voicemail. I'm Trip Eldridge for WVXU, and thank you for choosing to start here.